Okay, mixed 92.6. Now it's time to meet once again our resident counsellor, Carol Salter from Talking Minds Counselling. She joins us once again to discuss another topic which has the potential to impact on people's lives and mental well-being. And this week we're talking about food and our relationships with food. Carol, welcome, and thanks first of all for joining us. It does seem a bit silly to think about food and people's relationships with food, but this can be the cause of major distress, can't it?
Yeah, very much so. Good to speak to you again, Andy. But yes, you're right. I don't know about you, but I sort of seem to go through the day thinking about what my next meal is going to be. Mm-hmm. And then it's, you know, drinking, you know, what am I going to have to drink? So I think a majority of people actually, we actually love our food. And I think that has been a problem that is, it's sort of getting out of hand. And I think we've actually go from one extreme of overeating to undereating. And I think that's where this relationship comes in with regards to, you know, food and diets and everything.
And well, I mean, I will fess up here instantly that is exactly what I do. And I think there's huge amounts of guilt associated with food and food types. And then on the market, there's every conceivable weight loss program, exercise regime, diet plan, healthy eating, you name it. I mean, I'm sure there's value in what they're trying to do. But equally, I just wonder to what extent sometimes the experience that people have of these programs or these groups may not always be what they want it to be.
Yeah, and I think what the biggest thing that we do is we're inclined to sort of say to ourselves, right, I'm not going to say eat chocolate for argument's sake, as it's not good for me. But straight away, we're putting that food onto a pedestal, and you can bet your life then that after that, all you'll want to do is you'll crave it and want it even more. Because we've actually said we can't have it. And that's a bit like the diets, isn't it, that we all probably start and sometimes, you know, fail on. And, you know, we sort of say, well, I'm not going to eat carbs, I'm not going to eat this, I'm not going to eat that. And then, of course, you know, we give in, and then we go through that cycle of, I've messed up today, I'll start again tomorrow, or I'll start again next Monday. And we're on that sort of roller coaster. But the problem is that when we do say no to certain foods, they do become the thing that generally we crave the most, which makes it very difficult for ourselves.
Yes, it does. And I will tell you now that I have obviously gone along to things, and you know, they've said you can't eat X. And I've ended up craving it, even if I don't like it. So I'll give you one example. You know, all plans say don't eat cream cakes. You know, I would never buy a cream cake. I don't really like them, but I'm craving them because you've told me no. You know, it's your ultimate, please do not touch this in a museum. I want to touch it. You know,
it's in us, isn't it? That's mm-hmm. the thing. You know, it's what we can't have is what we want. So yeah, it is a problem. It really is. So,
yeah. How do we know, or how does someone know that their relationship with food is potentially quite unhealthy? Because, I mean, you may think you're doing all the right things. You may be aware you're not doing whatever the right things are, but that's fine to an extent. But at which point does it become unhealthy?
I think the signs they say that you sort of need to be aware of really are, you know, the sort of the unhealthy relationship in that you're constantly thinking about food, which is the first thing I said at the start of this program, you know, what's my next meal? Also binging, you know, and where then you start to feel the guilt and the shame after eating. And then you start to avoid eating around other people. because of the quantities that you're eating. The other thing then is you're eating something and it's making you actually feel ill, but you can't stop eating it. Mm-hmm. And you're binging without even realizing it. You know, it's not just one portion or, you know, one burger or one. It's you're having, you know, three, four of them or double portions, or and then suddenly, you're on that unhealthy road of with the relationship with food.
And I suppose it can also go the other way, where you're not eating enough.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got the two things there. We've got, you know, anorexia which is a serious eating disorder, where people are just have got sort of a distorted image of their bodies and they are not eating because they're trying to keep their weight as low as possible. And they're doing that by not eating enough or exercising too much or doing both. And we're now at the other extreme. And again, they're serious things which can and do actually can lead to death. And of course, there is bulimia, where, you know, you're eating and eating a lot, and then obviously making yourself, you're throwing up then because you're trying to get rid of it, all of it. It's a tricky, tricky area. It really is.
I mean, I would also wonder whether a lot of people assume that these are conditions most readily associated with women, but actually that's not always true. And I wonder whether that's maybe a bit naive, but if I think about weight loss groups that I've been to, then I would typically suspect that 98% of the group are women. And is this something which is mostly women, or is that something that's to do with society? I mean, what's going on there?
Well, again, I think it's definitely women, that, you know, we are always looking at diets, food, what we can and can't eat. And most of us have been on diets of some form or another. But there are a lot of men now that are starting to go to some of these sort of weight loss classes. And some of them are actually running male-only classes so that people can go along and not have that stigma of perhaps being the only man out of, you know, 60 or 20 women, you know, that evening. And the other side as well is children, you know, where we've got, you know, a lot of children suffering from, you know, overeating and sort of obesity. There is a whole cross section. So yes, mainly women, I would say, because we are able to go into these slimming places and it's sort of a bit of a friendship, you know, let's all stick together. Whereas for a man, again, it is slightly different. You know, there is that being judged and not wanting to fail at it. And so, but thankfully, like I said, there are these clubs that are starting up for men that they can go along and be with other men who are going through exactly the same problems that they are with regards to weight loss.
Can we talk a little bit more about children? And I mean, this is children at both ends of the spectrum, children who are not eating enough or who are obese. And I mean, I'm coming at this from quite a personal perspective. I know that for me, there was a lot of eating going on, which was not encouraged, but was endorsed by my mother because she was allowing me to do all the things that she wasn't allowed to do as a child. Yeah. And I know that's the hangover from it, and that's fine. But I wonder to what extent we have children now who are obese because they are being allowed to consume too much, or because parents don't know what's going on. I mean, it's a
Well, look, the National Health, the NHS, their sort of figures come out that about one in five children aged 10, are suffering with obesity, which is, you know, that's a high figure, and it's, and actually it's about one in four for adults,
right,
that are suffering with obesity at the moment. And of course, with that, with children, again, it's that access to fast food, you know, the high calorie food, and also finances are, again, you know, people have, you can buy a lot of stuff for little money, which isn't good for you.
Yes.
You know, you see the 99p burger, and the packets of sweets, and the, you know, you're in the garage again, and you've got, you know, you're paying for your petrol, but you've got kids with you, and then suddenly all by the counter there's all the chocolate bars and all the all the different sweets that you can have, and drinks. You know, that's another thing, is that, you know, the high sugar drinks that are available, and it's very accessible, and it's easy, and a lot of parents are working, and then it's a quick meal. It's, you know, we've sorted out tea by having that tonight. That's not everybody, obviously, but you know, this is just how it sort of comes about.
And I wonder as well whether the general, you know, squeeze that people are feeling in terms of household budgets and finances, you know, if you're in a supermarket and you need to buy enough food to feed the household, my feeling is, my, you know, anecdotal evidence is that you can fill several shopping bags up very, very cheaply with, you know, poorer quality food compared to buying very expensive fresh food.
That is exactly it. Like I said, the supermarkets are doing, you know, their deals, and on those ranges of food that, again, people just pick up, and, you know, and I think also the other side of that is lack of knowledge about what is healthy and what isn't healthy. You know, that's the other side of it, I think, that, you know, has been a problem.
Or not knowing how to cook.
Knowing how to cook. I think we've seen quite a few documentaries on all of that, haven't we? Mm-hmm. You know, where these chefs come along and go into these families and say, look, you know, instead of buying this processed food, have you, you know, let's cook it from fresh. And it's the cost saving there, but it's also about having something that you know what's in the dish because you've actually cooked it from scratch. But that's, sadly, that's not the real world at the moment, you know. Gosh, I mean, the number of, you know, parents who perhaps are listening or going, oh, but, you know, I've just got to get in and get them fed because, I've been at work all day. I haven't had a chance to shop and cook and, you know, and it's something out of the freezer and into the oven and, you know, you're feeding your family quickly. So
as
an
adult as well, the other thing I sometimes feel is that all the sort of points in our life, the interesting things that happen, are all punctuated by food. So social events, let's meet up, oh, we'll go for some food, let's do this, we'll go, oh, I haven't seen you for a while, let's have some food.
Yes,
we are very much a food driven culture, aren't we?
That's exactly it. They to understand sort of our relationship with food, it's sort of, as they say, it goes deeper than just fueling our bodies. As you said, we're sort of unlike the animals who are just eating to survive. We're doing it for a variety of reasons, you know, the joy of eating, the pleasure, culture, tradition, and, as you just said, socializing. You know, it's all of those things, and the opportunity to eat out is vast. You know, the restaurants that are open and the chains and the, you know, it like you said, it's very much part of our culture, you know, let's go out and have something to eat.
Now, as someone who's just been on a diet today,
and me,
you know, it's interesting when you come off that diet as well, because I mean, I've always felt the temptation to go, right, I'm going to eat all that I can. But today was an interesting day, and it's worth sharing this because at work in the day job, there was in our shared office space cake that someone had bought in.
Yes,
and
yeah.
I spent most of the day going, that cake looks lovely. Thank you for bringing it in. I won't have a piece, thank you. And it was starting to annoy me somewhat. And come 4 o'clock, I gave in. But notice the words I'm using, given in. And actually, in my mind, that's wrong, because I would have given in had I sat there with the spoon and eaten the whole lot. But I went in, had a relatively modest piece, said, oh, that was really nice, and walked out again. You know, and it's almost like we're sort of doing ourselves in by going, no, or I'm going to give in. I'm not giving in. Surely I'm having a healthy relationship with food.
Yeah. I do the same. We have a biscuit tin at work. You know, and it's clear, so you can actually see inside it. You know, I don't take one biscuit. I take about six. You know, I'm never one of those people that go, well, I'll just have one.
What? No.
You know, I always go, oh, well, actually, as I've stood up and walked over to the biscuit tin, I'll take six of them, you know. And, of course, you know, this diet, again, that you're on, and I'm sort of just doing exactly the same as you. I'm asking if they can put the biscuit tin away so I'm not looking at it, mm-hmm. you know, which they do. But it's you know, I should really have the willpower, shouldn't I, to be able to go, no, I can sit beside a biscuit tin and not touch the food. But I can't. So, and I think that's, again, where, you know, that relationship with food comes in. Ooh, that looks lovely. I'm going to eat it.
And it is all about developing those better, more healthy relationships,
yes,
isn't it? And going, well, actually, this is all right. Sort of knowing some limits, maybe. Is that what it's about?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's back to that thing about, if you say you can't have something, it's straight away you have put it onto a pedestal. And that's the thing then that you will be going, I'm not allowed that, but I want it, and I'm going to eventually cave in and have it. You know, you're better off saying, I can have it, but it's in moderation, you know, or, you know, I can't have it perhaps today, but I might be able to have it tomorrow. Or it's giving yourself a chance, really, that, you know, it's okay. But it's just having that control. It's a bit like drink. You know, drink is the big thing again, you know, with, you know, weight and losing weight. But the moment, you know, if I do a thing where I'm not drinking, then suddenly every TV program, someone's got a glass of wine in their hand. You know, so
there is culture. Professional counselling help out there, because some people, this is something they need counselling for,
yeah,
isn't
very
it?
Much so. Yeah, very much so. And I think thankfully there's a you know, sort of your GP, and also there's a lot of people out there doing weight loss management programs, and a lot of professionals actually dealing just with weight loss and what the issues are, and, you know, and weight gain as well. You know, as we've said, it's not just weight loss, it's the relationship with food. But it could be that if someone is going through that they actually see someone who can offer counselling support, but someone who's actually trained in eating disorders, because it's a very different area, again, than I would say, than normal counselling.
And knowing that we're slightly up against it in terms of time, I just want to ask as well, I mean, does the unhealthy relationships with food and eating, am I right in assuming that sometimes that's tied up with another issue going on, and it's an emotional response? So dealing with the issue might deal with this one as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why talking is good again, you know, where you don't even know why you're doing it. Some people do it as a protection, you know, they eat. Because they feel that if they become so big, they will be unattractive to outside influences, and they will be safe because perhaps they've had something happen in their life where they've been taken advantage of. And also there's the comfort, you know, it could be a loss. Someone's has lost something or someone, and they resort to eating as the comfort. So by going to see a counsellor, you're actually, you're getting the opportunity to find out what the root problem is. And like I said, there are some trained eating disorder professionals out there that can help with that.
Well, I mean, again, I think this is one of those topics that we could talk about all day. It's fascinating. And, you know, there's no hiding here. It's something that I feel very, very connected to. So I found this really interesting.
Thanks. I must admit, Andy, I know exactly what you mean.
It's a difficult one. But we hope that, you know, if you have been listening, that you have found this useful in some way. And Carol, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
No, no problem. Thank you.